Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Right on time, America, to talk some sports.
Time is now. The time is now. I was about to say something else about Rob, but he made it. Time is now. So what we're doing, we're having a good time. Of course, it is Talking Sports with Talk Man Time. Today is on a new night, Thursday, November the 14th. But as mentioned, we appreciate you guys hanging on, checking in. That is what we do. Man, I'm excited, man. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to get caught up. Kind of near the end of the week, but we can still recap a lot of stuff. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host Robert Ford. And without further ado, I always got to like check in my co-host and see how he is doing this evening. How are you doing, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Couldn't wait for the show tonight. Knew we got a lot to talk about, some exciting topics. We're going to cover a lot. We're going to dip into a little NFL, a little college football, a little NBA, and the start of the college basketball season, too. So we're going to tap into a little bit of everything tonight, man. How's everything going for you?
Everything's fantastic. For once again, we always want to throw out some numbers if you want to call us, check in, see what's going on. To call into the show, we always want to invite you to do that. You can call in at 424-243-9519. That is free to check into our line. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available via Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put Talking Sports at 12th Man, you can find us. And also, last but not least, available via Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and that is how you can reach us. But Rob said we got a lot of things to dive right into. We got a lot of topics to discuss. Let's kind of jump right in, Rob, and we're going to give a quick update on the Colts and the Titans game. You know, me being from Indianapolis, obviously very excited about my Colts playing Tennessee. They've been dealing with some injuries. A lot of teams have been dealing with injuries. But it's a pretty tight game right now in the with the Colts with a 3-point lead right now. So it's kind of like 9 minutes to go in the game. But right now, the Titans are putting up a pretty good battle.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, at the half here, you saw the Titans was up 17-6, and you had to wonder, you know, what's going on with the Colts. I mean, they were losing 38-0 to the Rams this past weekend. I mean, the final score wound up being 38-8, and but now it looks like the Colts have awakened. I mean, they're top of this division. You think they're going to win the division. And as of right now, it looks like they still should be in good shape and winning that division. I mean, they're 6-3, and the Titans are 4-5. And the Colts, I think, is probably going to find a way to pull out this game tonight. And so, I mean, they've made a comeback after being down 17-6. Got to like the Colts to close this out.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing extremely well right now. The Colts trying to hold on. There's been a couple turnovers. But as you mentioned, right now, we'll see how it plays out. The Titans are a pretty physical team, kind of still in that mold that Jeff Fisher has left. So, right now, we'll kind of keep an eye on that game, as always. Moving right along, sir, let's talk about a kind of a surprising move, Rob, I would say, but was on the market, off the market for a couple hours, I would say, but Ed Reed was actually cut by the Texans, and, you know, I don't know if you want to hear word on the street, Rob, that didn't get along with the coaching staff of the Texans and or he wasn't really contributing that much. And he turns around and gets picked up by the Jets. So the question that we pose, is this a good move or this is a bad move? And I'm curious to hear your feedback and your thoughts about this particular scenario, Rob.
Well, I think here with the Texans, you know, they started to look like after the season it's kind of, you know, going in the toilet at this point. You know, it looked like they want to go younger and get some of the younger guys to play. And I think Ed Reed can definitely help out the Jets. This guy is smart. He still got some football left in him. I mean, he played for Rex Ryan in Baltimore for quite some time. And I think the Jets, you know, right there in the hunt for playoffs, believe it or not. This was a team we thought were going to be competing for the number one pick in the draft next year. And defensively, they're getting it done. They're running the football extremely well. Their offensive line is one of the better ones in the league. And I guess, you know, the only weak point that the Jets have right now is that you're playing with a rookie quarterback who I think has potential to be good, but he's just not there yet as a rookie. And he's probably the only weakest link on their football team when you look at their roster. It's probably the quarterback position, and you probably don't have no wide receiver threats on that football team either. But other than that, you got a strong running game, strong offensive line, and you got a great defense. And so who knows? And defense just got better with the acquisition of Ed Reed. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good move. Ed Reed, I've always been a fan of Ed Reed. Just like you said, he's definitely one of the ball-hawking safeties. Just causes a lot of nightmares for some quarterbacks. You can say that he's lost a step, Rob, but he definitely gets by with, as you said, a very extremely heady player. Just kind of knows where things at. Seen a lot of defenses, you know, that structure juncture. I know a lot of safeties get picked up by teams later on in their career, and they just seem to be able to read defenses and read the offenses and kind of know how to do some things too. So I think this is a great move. Another thing you mentioned that the Jets, man, very surprisingly, they are making a nice little run there. I'm not going to talk too much about our predictions about that because I'm sure I can speak for myself. I was wrong with that because if you have a rookie quarterback, you kind of thinking they're rebuilding, Rob. But they've been playing surprisingly well. Geno Smith has not, not been the cause of a lot of it. I mean, the beginning of the season, certain things he can do to improve, but you surround him with a pretty good defense. They definitely need to add some more pieces to get that running game going and a deep threat. But this team. I don't say they're going to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but they're going to definitely make some moves in a very successful season in Geno Smith's young career.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thought Rex Ryan was on a hot seat as well, but I think he's done a fine job. And I think if the Jets keep playing at this pace, at this level, you have to consider him for Coach of the Year, in my opinion, too. I think, what this team has accomplished with a rookie QB, and like I said, I was one of the people that thought that this team were going to be competing for the number one pick in the draft, and I thought they would be the worst team in the AFC East.
From Tim Tebow to different quarterbacks to Mark Sanchez, other things, we thought that the Jets were just a cluster. Right? They seemed like they actually turned it around. So Sexy Rexy has bought some more time, and I'm sure my Jets fans out there, you guys are pretty proud as far as what's going on. So we'll keep it moving for sure.
And one other note, if the season ended today and the playoffs started today, the Jets would be the last team in. I mean, their playoff team as of right now in the AFC, they're the number 6 seed, and, that's pretty remarkable.
Very remarkable. Good job. Okay, keep moving. Let's talk real quick as we transition here. Let's talk about some NFL predictions. And I do have to say something that's pretty interesting in that I was going to have a special caller for you, Rob, from California, to talk about the 49ers at the Saints because they were ready for you. So I don't know if they're going to get a chance to call in, but talk about those predictions. We got the KFC at Denver, which is a huge game, and we're going to talk about the Patriots at Carolina. So first and foremost, the 49ers are traveling to the Saints. Sometimes it's always an advantage whenever you are playing at home, especially the Saints. They are just coming off of a pretty good butt-kicking, not going to be taking care of the Cowboys. So I'm pretty sure the Saints are feeling pretty good. But the 49ers are kind of a different animal, but I'm sure you're going to give a slight edge to your boys at home.
Well, the Saints are tough to beat in the Superdome. It doesn't matter who they're playing. And I think Sean Payton and Drew Brees, that combination, I think I've lost track a little bit. They've won 13 or 14 in a row in the Superdome. And the Saints have been blowing out just about everybody at home this year. I think the only team that's really kind of hanging with the Saints in the Superdome this year were the Atlanta Falcons. And, that's when Atlanta Falcons were healthy early in the year. And everybody else has been getting blown out in the Superdome. But I think this game is going to be close. I still like the Saints to win at home. This combination, like I said, just does not lose in the Superdome. And so I think the Saints will win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like it's been the past few weeks. We know the way the Saints beat up on the Cowboys and the Bills and the Dolphins and a few other teams that they've blown out in the Superdome this year. I think this game is going to be closer. But I like the Saints to win by somewhere between 7 to 10 points at home.
You going with your heart or you going with your head for this, Rob?
Well, I'm going with both. Like I said, the Saints don't lose. You look at the records yourself. The Saints don't lose in the Superdome with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. And of course, I'm a fan, too. So, if this game was in San Francisco, I would pick the 49ers. But this game is in New Orleans, so I'm picking the Saints.
Like it. Let's keep moving here. Also, man, I always got to give a nice shout-out to my cousin Rob. He always likes to post things. Mr. Mario, he's showing you some love. He wanted to key in real quick. He just sent me a nice little note on our Facebook page regarding Ed Reed, and he just wanted to say that he said that Ed Reed left his heart in Baltimore. He thinks that maybe it's not a good move for the Jets to pick up Ed Reed, and that he's not going to really make an impact at this juncture. But if he went to some team like the Patriots, because he thinks that Bill Belichick can always do something with guys that are over the years and get production out of them, and if even it's for a year or two. So that's what he's saying, you know. So that's interesting how he made a nice little comment about that, because he's 35 years old, Ed Reed is, maybe he's a little older. That's what he's trying to – I guess is what he's trying to say in that instance, for sure. Anyway.
Well, I think the one difference this might be is that he has a relationship with Rex Ryan already. And I think Rex will get him ready to play, and I think he'll be inspired to play for Rex Ryan, where maybe he didn't have anything to inspire him down in Houston. And I think that's what might be the slight difference. But I think that is a great point that Mario has made, and we certainly appreciate his comments and communications. I'm just going to say I think it's a slight difference here with his relationship that he already has with Rex Ryan.
Gotcha. Anyway, I appreciate you kind of letting me reset and kind of talk about that topic. But keeping it moving, let's talk about another huge game. I think this is probably one of the big games. And you got KC traveling to Denver. Now, Kansas City is, very phenomenal. What an amazing turnaround with Andy Reid at the helm. And this is almost like a statement game. And if you're Denver, I know that Peyton Manning, he's been – hurt a little bit. He's been getting some MRIs there. I think he's been having some ankle injuries or whatnot. And this is kind of a two-part question, Rob. I mean, you're playing a division game right now within, obviously, both of them in the same division. Do you rest Peyton Manning to save him for the postseason, or do you try to play him right now to try to make a statement and to try to get a better advantage for your seating in the playoffs? So this is a tough call because my barber, shout out to Alex, he's a huge Broncos fan. He's thinking that they're going to stomp a mud hole, in his words, on the Chiefs. And I was telling him, right now I think that the Chiefs can play keep away with Denver, and they'll try to hold the ball. And Alex Smith has not been making a lot of mistakes, Rob. So I'm kind of torn as far as who this, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. But this is going to be a very, very key game, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And going back to the Peyton Manning and whether he should be rested or not, if he's healthy at this point, he should be playing. I don't think you rest guys until you've secured a position and a seed in the playoffs. So it's definitely way too early to rest him, unless he's injured. Now, if he's injured, he shouldn't be playing. There's no doubt about that. But if he's healthy enough to play, then he should play. And this is a crucial game. Only reason I'm picking Denver because they're at home. I think this game's going to be fairly close, though. I'm looking at a 6 to 7 point win by the Broncos at home, and I don't see Denver scoring over 27 points against this Kansas City's defense. So I'm going to go with a Broncos 24-17 win at home over the Chiefs.
Wow. All right. That's cool. I mean, like you said, it's going to be an interesting game. Like you said, I kind of give a slight edge to the Broncos as well, only because they're at home. But I would not be surprised, Rob, if the Chiefs were able to pull it out kind of by a last-second field goal or something like that, too, because
Andy Reid definitely knows how to do some things, but maybe a slight edge to Denver because they are at home. So we'll keep that on the docket. This is a very, very good game. They're going to turn around and play right back at Kansas City in a couple weeks too. So, we'll keep an eye on that particular thing. It's kind of interesting how that schedule plays out. Let's talk real quick about the Patriots at the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton, Rob, is quietly having a pretty good season at this juncture. Not saying he's an MVP or anything like that, but you got to like the way he's been playing. Carolina, they had a little setback, but you got to like what they're doing. Looks like they're playing for Ron Rivera. I'm glad they're not taking out any more ads in the paper talking about Super Bowl. What do you think about this particular game, sir?
Well, yeah, Cam Newton is definitely probably having his best career, season as a pro. So this is a career year for him. There's no doubt about it. But I think another thing you got to talk about when we talk about Carolina, their defense have been outstanding this year, and they're one of the best defenses of the league. I think you could probably make a point that Kansas City is the best defense. You can make a case that this season Carolina's got the second best defense in the NFL, and their front seven has been amazing this year. And so with a combination of Cam Newton playing steady and a combination of a strong defense, this team is, playing really well. I've won five in a row. They're only one game behind the Saints, and it looked like the Saints were going to run away with this division. And the Saints still may very well win the division, but Carolina's only one game back. So if you're a Saints fan, you got to hope the Saints keep winning to stay ahead of them. So this is quietly. Then to go on the road and beat the 49ers 10-9. I know it was a low-scoring game, but that's a quality win on the road. And I'm going to pick Carolina to beat the Patriots this week, too. They're at home. And I think it's going to be a close ball game. I'm thinking 20-17, 17-14, something like that. But I think Carolina's going to squeak out a win over Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Wow, that's a good call. I could see that too. And like I said, it seems like if you're playing at home, you have a slight edge. Even though Gronkowski's kind of making his way back, Patriots still, I don't think they have a lot of weapons that you're focused on. So, obviously Bill Belichick's going to do a great job of coaching up the team. But I think they made us run out of firepower to the end, and I think Cam's going to try to continue to play well and try to make a statement against a pretty good team right now. So. And that's the show of the team, too, by the way. Let's keep it moving, Rob. I'm going to fill out the numbers real quick once again for those that want to join us and join the show. We got about 12 minutes or so left. If you want to call into the show, you can reach out to us by calling 424-243-9519, or you can also follow us, share your thoughts via Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And do as my cousin Mario did. He always shows us some love. You can follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12manSports, or you can type in Talking Sports with 12 Man. You can find us either way. You can add comments, feedback. We've been getting a lot of love, man. Everyone's been liking the photo that you posted about Jerry Jones and whatnot. So I don't want to talk too harshly because I got a good friend that's a big Dallas Cowboys fan, and he may call in next week. So he's a Cowboys fan, Rob, but he's also an Alabama fan, so – that's going to be interesting since you're LSU and whatnot. So we'll keep that under wraps, and I'm sure we can have a nice little meeting ground right there, middle ground for that too. But as mentioned, we got about 11 minutes, so let's kind of do some fantasy shout outs, Rob, and I'll open up the floor to you to do a couple shout outs if you will.
Oh yeah, of course. We want to first of all thank all of you all for competing in our fantasy football leagues and fantasy basketball leagues. We certainly appreciate the competition. Our fantasy football league, number one. My co-host himself is in first place, straight cash homie. Yes, 8-2. And 8-2. Got to give him a little credit. In our second fantasy football league, Crazy Crew, good friend of mine, Wayne DeGrange, in first place with a 9-1 record. So that's pretty impressive. I think he's won 7 in a row in that particular league. And so he's holding down a first place spot in that league. And in our fantasy basketball league, yours truly is holding down a first place spot with a 15-1 record. And so I got to keep it moving and stay in first place in basketball and then catch up with my co-host and Wayne in the fantasy football leagues. So those are our fantasy first place leaders at the moment in our fantasy sports.
That's how it should be. One of us has got to be leading something, Rob. You know, not that we're talking junk or anything like that, but, you know, we got to set the stage. The first league, man, I feel like I'm on fire. The second league, I'm just kind of like picking, you know, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out. But, you know, we've got a pretty competitive game. Congrats to Wayne, obviously, doing his thing. For basketball, man, that's one of the ones I got to get a little better at because you are going to dominate that one, but that's okay. Definitely props to you. And like you said, we're going to continue to stretch our leads for both of that, but we'll have some fun. So thank you, everyone, for playing fantasy. Definitely keep an eye out because we definitely want to invite you for the next leagues. It makes it more competitive. Whenever you're talking with us, you can talk junk with us, all that fun things. That is what we do for sure. Where are we at? Man, we are making good time, Rob. I don't know if you want to add anything else as I get ready to set the stage for the next topic, Heisman Trophy winners. Wow, for Heisman Trophy candidates here. Let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about the top five Heisman contenders. Can you dig out five of them, Rob? Right now, there's a lot of news about Jameis Winston going on. Aaron Murray from Georgia, is he up there? A.J. McGarren, is he a candidate? Tell me what you think about your top five Heisman contenders, sir.
Well, right now, I got to go with Jameis Winston right now. I think he's the number one candidate. And I think as of right now, he would be my choice for the Heisman Trophy. And phenomenal freshman quarterback. The things he's doing is amazing. He calls the protections at the line of scrimmage. He reads the defense as well. He gets rid of the football. He's having a phenomenal year. And I think he's been the best player in college football, in my opinion, this season. And so I have to give him a lot of credit. I have to go with Jameis Winston would be my choice at the moment. My number two choice would be a slight surprise. I'm going to go with Lashay Seastrunk, the running back from Baylor. Baylor's undefeated. This guy's quietly putting up some amazing numbers for the Baylor Bears. You know, not a lot of people. Baylor, I mean, it blew out Oklahoma this past weekend, and he has been phenomenal this football season. And so a lot of people may be a little surprised by that selection, but I have him at the number two spot. Number three, I have Marcus Mariota, the quarterback from Oregon. Even though he lost to Oregon this past week, he's still having a phenomenal season, so I've got to give him a little credit. Number four, my fourth choice would be Taj Boyd. A big win tonight for Clemson, throwing five touchdown passes by Taj Boyd. He will be my number four choice. And number five, the last year's winner, Johnny Manziel, will round out my top five. Still having a solid year, maybe not as dynamic as the year he had last year.
So let me get this straight. So you're saying that Jameis Winston is the best player in college football. Is that what you're telling me right now?
Can you name somebody that's having a better year?
No, I'm just curious. It's tough that you say that for numbers because, you know, I was just curious. You know, Jadeveon and Clowney didn't make your top five at all, so I just didn't know if you
He's not having a Heisman Trophy kind of caliber season.
I just like to, you know, talk some junk with you, man, because we keep things moving, too. But, you know, maybe because he's prepared for the NFL. But, you know, I like it. Definitely agree. It's tough. So you think that we're bucking the trend having, like, a freshman, Rob. Jameis Winston, I agree with you, man. This guy's been playing phenomenal. Do you think the problem is that some recent things that just came out this week, that's going to affect his status, some things as far as maybe him being in the wrong place, the wrong time, you know, some – I don't know. This is all speculation. Nothing has been has been solidified, but do you think it's going to affect his Heisman capabilities, his Heisman chances?
Well, I think at the moment, you know, I think people should realize he's innocent until proven guilty, and now he's got some witnesses that have his back that said he had nothing to do with it. So, you know, as at the moment, you know, if it looks good for him, it sounds like he wasn't a part of this, and obviously he's not officially cleared. But at the moment, you have to assume he's innocent until proven guilty. So I'm going to based on everything that I've seen him do on a football field at the moment.
Yeah, like I said, good call. on that, you know, for somebody that's been a freshman, like I said, was playing high school last year. Well, he was redshirt freshman, but, you know, pretty much coming in doing this thing, impressed with what Jameis Winston is doing. So I think he definitely is going to definitely be, like, the top pick for the Heisman. You know, I'm sure, like we talked about, our quarterback, Sam Mariota, kind of struggled a little bit in the game. What did I tell you about Oklahoma, sir? Didn't I tell you they were going to get beat? Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about that?
Picked Baylor last week.
Yeah, so it's just more or less certain, you know, I'm not that I'm picking on Bob Stoops, man. It really seems like I am, but I just think I get frustrated because sometimes you get, like, the guys that are hyped a lot and they just seem to fall short a little bit too. So that's okay. Nothing against him, and he's got a job, so, you know, what can I say? Real quick, let's jump into some college football predictions over the weekend. Some pretty big games here. Number 25, Georgia at number 7, Auburn. This is a huge, huge opportunity for Georgia to make a statement against a pretty good Auburn team that Nick Marshall's been playing phenomenal. That running game, they only threw the ball, Rob, 16 times. Let's talk about how that's going to play out. Also, number 12, Oklahoma State at number 24, Texas, who have seen a resurgence. Maybe they're playing for Mack Brown's job too. But what do you think about number 25, Georgia, at number 7, Auburn, your thoughts about this game? And also something to let to know, we're kind of getting near the end of the show. We got about 3 minutes left as we jump in and talk about these last college football predictions.
Yeah, I tell you, Auburn is a complete shock how well they're playing this season. I mean, this is the team that most people thought, including myself, would be near the bottom of the SEC West. And now they're the only other team that has an outside chance of winning the division other than Alabama. They've only lost one game in the conference, and they're number 7 in the country. You got to give Gus Malzahn a lot of credit for the job he's done this season. I like Auburn at home. Georgia's defense is young, and they can't stop anybody. And even though Georgia's offense is good, but they won't be able to keep up with Auburn in this game. I like Auburn, and I like Auburn by at least 10, 14 points. I like Texas over Oklahoma State, but I think that game is going to be close. I like Texas by a field goal.
Yeah, I agree with you on both points, man. I think that Auburn's going to figure out a way to just kind of dominate because, you know, right now, even though Georgia's pass defense is not that great, but just Auburn just has so many ways to beat you, man. I think it's going to be tough for the Georgia to keep up, even though they do have an elite offense. But they're going to play keep away, and they're going to run the ball to death. Like you said, Oklahoma State, kind of a tough scenario versus Texas. I think they have been playing well the past couple of weeks. So you got to like how they're doing. Like I said, it seems like Mack Brown is kind of put some fire in that team, and they're playing for him. They don't want him to get let go. We'll talk about that moving on to a couple shows too. 2 minutes, sir. Can you set the stage for the OT portion also for next week as we're ready to wrap it up for another edition of Talking Sports with Both Men?
Once again, to all of our listeners, we certainly appreciate all of you all tuning in to the show. We're truly grateful. Continue to like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Continue to follow us at Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. We constantly have updates on what's happening in the sports world. Next week, we should be back on our regular Tuesday night schedule, which will be 10 Central, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii. Don't miss the show. Continue to support us, and we certainly appreciate all of you all. Have a great night.
Have a great night. Shout-outs to Mario. Shout-outs to Leonard. Thank you, sir, for everything. Looks like the Colts have pulled it out. 30-27 is what it looks like that score was. They're going to run out the clock. So a lot of love. As Rob mentioned, stay tuned for the OT portion of the show. We're going to talk about some college basketball things. We're going to talk about some Fab Five, some diaper dandies, as Dick Vitale likes to say, and also what we think about that. So that's what we do. We do it every week. As Rob mentioned, we're back on our regular scheduled night on Tuesday. Definitely feel free to like us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. All the good jazz. Rob does a fantastic job of doing some updates. NBA season is upon us too, Rob. I forget to talk about that too. So we definitely want to target that. We thank you for listening, and we'll get ready for the OT portion. Good night, people.
Good night, people.
And once again, we are jumping into the OT portion of the show. This is where me and Rob get to talk extra a little bit, and we can add extra thoughts without being live, but that's okay. That's what we do. Let's talk about the top five teams in the short NBA season. Right now, right off the bat, Rob, you got to put Indiana up there. You talk about a team that's playing phenomenal basketball. Tell me what your thoughts as far as some teams here. I know the Knicks have been struggling a little bit, even though they beat more Hawks last night. But what do you think about some squads here? I know if I'm kind of taking a quick peek at the schedule, and we always look at, like, the standings and whatnot. Boston's been playing pretty well. Oh, I'm looking at something else. Never mind. Anyway, tell me your thoughts about that, Rob, and kind of what you think as far as who's been playing pretty well. Being the Pacers being 8-0 as well. Tell me your thoughts, sir.
Well, like you said, Indiana's definitely number one at the moment, and they're playing phenomenal. You got to give Frank Vogel a lot of credit as the head coach, and they're strong in the interior. They're getting better play on the perimeter. Paul George, I tell you what, this guy's one of the top five players in the NBA, and nobody's talking about him. Unbelievable player, does it all on both ends of the floors. He's definitely got to be an MVP candidate. Quietly, I mean, I guess playing in a market like Indianapolis, he's not getting the recognition that he deserves. But like I said, quietly, this guy's right up there, has been one of the top players in the league. He's definitely in the top five, maybe even one of the top three players in the NBA right now. And, you know,
wow.
I heard a question.
Okay.
You know, I was in the middle of a debate, and who would you take at the moment if you had the opportunity to have Carmelo Anthony or Paul George? I quickly said Paul George. And he definitely is a better all-around player. Carmelo Anthony is a good shooter, but other than that, he doesn't give you a whole lot more. Paul George has got the versatility. He's a lockdown defender. He can shoot the ball. He can penetrate. He can get to the basket, dish it out. He's got a more all-around game. And, you know, I didn't even hesitate. Paul George, no doubt about it. You know, I'm not going to say he's a second or third, but he's definitely somewhere in that top five. I think you still have to say Durant, LeBron is one and two, you know, 1B and 1A, however you want to say it. They're probably the two best players in the league. You might can say Chris Paul is right there, number three. Well, Paul George is right up there. I kid you not.
Yeah, I like it. There's a lot of.
And then when you look at the number two spot, I still got to go with the Spurs. I mean,
yeah, 8-1. Yeah.
This team just never gets old, and you know, they just defying science, and so doing a tremendous job. Have to give them a lot of credit as well. Number three, I'm going to go with the Clippers. It seems like they're finally starting to get it together here on the defensive end as well. So Doc Rivers' message is finally getting through to his team. Number four, I'm going to go quietly with the Portland Trail Blazers. Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge and Nick Batum is quietly becoming a dynamic threesome up there in the Pacific Northwest. So this is a team you want to look out for. And number five, I have the OKC Thunder rounding out my top five.
Yeah, similar. We have the exact same top five. You know, Pacers, a lot of shout-outs to them, to my home city. You know, like you talked about, Paul George playing phenomenal. Roy Hibbert surprisingly doing his thing as well, man, getting a lot of rebounds, blocking shots. Turned out to be a pretty solid player, Rob. A lot better than we anticipated. So, you know, he's just growing up in front of our eyes, man. So it's good to see his progress. That team's a very hard-nosed team, and they're playing extremely well. I like what you said about San Antonio. They got a lot of ageless wonders on that team. Just goes to show you, if you are a Hawks fan like myself, hopefully at some point, if we keep that tradition going, that we can be pretty seamless and run that offense. And it's just good to see kind of what we're looking to achieve in the future. Maybe some options as far as switching here. I like Portland. I like Lillard. I like LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum playing well. You know, Oklahoma City, you can't go wrong with Kevin Durant. You know, right now, I'm not quite sure. I'm still baffled, Rob, ever since they broke up the triumvirate with James Harden, man. I think that's still a huge mistake, and that may still cost them. So Until they win a championship, they got to prove me wrong in that instance. And you got to like round it out with the Clippers at LA. Chris Paul is still doing his thing, and like you said, Doc Rivers is finally preaching defense to them if they're actually listening to him, and they're realizing they can get some results of that too. But you talk about a team that just has great dynamic players, Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, and you know, good solid team. Like you said, they just needed a little extra. Well, maybe Doc Rivers is going to get that to them for sure, Rob.
Absolutely.
I love how Rob says his little confirmation. That makes me move on and do my next part of the puzzle. This is a good question, Rob. We got about 10 minutes or so, and maybe we'll end a little early because we don't get a chance to talk about this. And this is going into next year's draft for the NBA. And let's talk about the college freshman of the year, the top freshman. And you know, there was a big game that took place, Duke versus Kansas, and you kind of saw the future of not only, I think, the NBA, but just kind of college basketball. It was exciting, sir, to see some players. You saw Jabari Parker. You saw Julius Randle. You saw, Andrew Wiggins. So there's a lot of scouts in that particular game. And if you're watching this, Rob, and this is something I want to talk about too, because I know that the number one pick, the consensus seems to be Andrew Wiggins. But I got to say, I was really, really impressed with Jabari Parker. You talk about a player, Rob, and the reason why I'm going to say this is because certain players are overly athletic. You know, Wiggins, just freakishly athletic. I think Julius Randle is the same thing. I don't think Jabari Parker is as athletic, but he's just a solid player. He kind of reminds me, and I'm not saying he's going to be this, but like Tim Duncan-like, because he's fundamentally, he knows how to get his shots off. He plays under control. Just, I was impressed with his play, Rob, because, you know, right now, he let the game come to him, didn't force it, and especially being a young freshman player, too. So I was just impressed with him, and I think he has a very, very bright future. Even if you're kind of like the number three pick, I think you can't go wrong if you go with him, because I know the number one team is definitely going to get Wiggins, but I was kind of really impressed with Jabari Parker's play.
Yeah, I was definitely impressed with him as well. But I'm going to say still Andrew Wiggins, he is the best college basketball freshman. I think he's very athletic.
He's the best freshman.
Definitely. You know, still would like to see him improve his three-point shot just a little bit more. But he gets everybody involved. He helps create opportunities for his teammates as well as for himself. He can get to the basket. He can shoot that 15, 18-footer with ease. He's got an all-around game, and then he's at his best when he's in an open floor. He's dynamite when he gets an open floor. And he plays on both ends of the floor, so you got to like that too. And then Julius Randle and Jabari Parker, I think, will be 2A and 2B right behind Andrew Wiggins. You look at both of those players, you know, there's nothing but greatness looked at all three of these players. But Kentucky, with Julius Randle and Duke, with Jabari Parker, you got to like their futures as well.
Yeah, all these players are pretty much one-and-done players, I would imagine. You're
absolutely
in agreement
with
that, too. Yeah, because right now, you know, and if you're Kentucky, you see like you just keep reloading, Rob. Like John Calipari keeps reloading another set of players. I don't know if I got to get a quick check as far as their complete roster. I know they got there's some cool got some players, some swim players. I think we're big fans of NBADraft.net. You kind of follow that particular website to get a check as far as our players and whatnot too. But like you talk about, just an amazing crop of young freshmen. Do you think any of these, if you were going to say, is there a player that you think is going to be an absolute superstar right now? And I think I know the answer, but anyone else besides the one guy that can be a pretty good superstar in the league to come?
I tell you what, I think Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker, these guys are such great talents that they look like surefire Hall of Fame players to me.
Wow.
And,
okay.
Both of these guys, this is going to be one of the best drafts in a long time. Probably the best draft since the 03 draft with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Carmelo Anthony.
I agree.
I like Parker, and I like Wiggins to be Hall of Famers. And I think Julius Randle's is going to be a definitely all-star as well in the league.
Tell me your thoughts real quick about Marcus Smart. I know he's the point guard that went back from Oklahoma State. I know some people may be criticizing his decision. What do you think his stock in the league is, and kind of why do you think he came back to school, and you know what do you think his prospects are on the next level? I hope I didn't catch you off guard this question, too. Just curious about your thoughts.
No. About Marcus Smart is a tremendous basketball player with great size. You know, this guy is going to be an adjacent kid, Deron Williams mode. You know, he's got that kind of potential. He's got the size. He'll be able to see over defenses. And, you know, a lot of people are surprised he decided to come back to college. But, hey, you can't, you know, question the guys. You know, he enjoyed college life. He wanted to stay in school. So give him a lot of credit, you know, for that. But I think he's definitely still a top five pick. You know, and he's going to have to compete with Wiggins, Randle, and Parker. But he's right in that mix, too.
Tell me your thoughts real quick about Glenn Robinson III. He decided to go back to Michigan after Tim Hardaway Jr. decided to make a move. What do you think about Glenn Robinson? He's got the pedigree. I know he is almost getting compared to Andre Iguodala because he's not the most one of the things that he's kind of unselfish. What do you think about him? He's got a good size. What do you think about his prospects in the league next year?
Yeah, who are you referring to again?
Glenn Robinson III. My bad. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Robinson III. I look at him as being the top 10 pick next year in the draft. I see him as a kind of like a role player as a rookie in the NBA. And maybe eventually becoming a starter, but he's not in that Jabari Parker, Marcus Smart, Andrew Wiggins, Julius Randle category.
Gotcha. Good deal. Well, as always, that's kind of me just kind of throwing out some things because this has the capability of being a pretty good draft. If you are some teams you're hoping to tank, not out loud you're going to say, but you want to grab the top three picks I think are going to be very, very solid players, man, so you can't go wrong with either of those guys. Like you said, very comparable to Dwayne Wade, who was in the draft, Carmelo Anthony, and was it LeBron that was in the draft too, or am I thinking of the same? Was that
really? Yeah, LeBron.
Yep, LeBron, Dwayne, and Carmelo, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm off, please forgive me. Just chalk it up to Dre having a late night. But with that being said, Rob, I don't know if you want to wrap it up. Is there anything you want to talk about as we get ready to another successful night of talking sports from the 12th man?
That's going to do it, people. Make sure you join us on next week, Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. Don't forget to tune in next Tuesday. Good night, people.
Thank you for listening. As always, if you don't get a chance, I'm sure you're going to listen to this on the archives, but we'll talk soon. Rob, good show tonight, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night, people.